You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. As often happens, when I read something that Neil Irwin's written, I said to myself this morning, man, we have got to get him on the air today and have him help us explain to you what the what with this economy right now. So we did. Get him on the air. Neil, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Kai.
So look, here's your headline. I'm going to read it to you, and then I need an explanation. Economists are lowering growth forecasts, the headline says, and that is good news. Explain, please.
So the economy can only grow so fast and without having inflation. Right now, what we have is an economy that's overheated. We have growth that's been very strong, 5.5% last year. And economists starting the year thought that it would keep up that kind of rate, maybe not quite that fast, but we might get 3-4% growth this year. They're changing that view. Everybody's downgrading their outlook. But I think that's the kind of thing that makes it more likely that inflation will come down and will kind of vanquish this inflation monster for now.
The catch, of course, as you point out, is that slower growth does make us vulnerable to a recession, especially, you say, if there are some unlucky negative shocks. We don't need more unluck in this economy. What could those negative shocks be?
Well, we're seeing some of them, right? The war in Ukraine, the shutdowns in China. These are things that are already causing supply problems around the world and could worsen, could unfold in any number of ways. Monkeypox, we just learned about. The world is full of shocks. The world is full of bad things that can happen. The point, though, is that when growth is slower, when there's slower trend growth, the economy is more vulnerable to actually going into recession because of those shocks. As one example, in 2001, there was the dot-com bust. The economy was slowing, kind of limping along. And then the 9/11 attacks happened in September, and that's what turned it into an actual official recession. So this is a situation where slower growth, a more kind of limping along economy makes us more vulnerable.
We should point out here, I guess I'll point it out since I'm the one who's been saying it on this program for the last couple of weeks. This is what is supposed to happen. The Fed raises rates, financial conditions tighten, companies take a second look at things, and we are supposed to slow down a bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, you just can't grow at 4 or 5% forever because of population trends, because, technological advancement only goes so fast. And it's one thing when you're coming out of a recession, then you're putting people back to work after the pandemic, all these people out of the workforce, they've been coming back in. But eventually you run out of those people. And then to achieve higher growth, you need to have the resources coming from somewhere. And what we've had a lot of the last few months is not that kind of strong, robust growth, but just a lot of inflation. And that doesn't make anybody happy.
Let me take you sideways a little bit. Back when inflation was still in the future, and I'm talking like a year and a half ago, everybody was like, oh my goodness, can we talk ourselves into inflation? So here's the flip side of that coin. Can we talk ourselves into a recession? Can CEOs get so worried about the possibility of a slowdown that they preemptively pull back on capital expenditures and hiring and those kinds of things and make it worse, I guess?
It's certainly a risk, right? There's definitely a change happening in sentiment among executives. You look at CFO surveys, things like that. That can affect hiring plans. For now, what, for example, the Federal Reserve wants to see is this economy come into some sense of balance by hiring levels throttling back and having not so much layoffs, but less hiring. That said, it's also true on the consumer side. The stock market is down a lot this year. And so if you are thinking about buying a house, if you are thinking about spending lavishly on that vacation, maybe you pull back those plans because your stock portfolio is down 20%. Those are the kinds of things that are the ways that financial markets can affect the broader economy.
All right. So let me put you on the spot a little bit. Do you think Jay Powell can get us to that soft landing? And I'll take a, discursive answer as opposed to a hard yes or no, because it's a matter of some subtlety, right?
It is. Look, I'm an optimist. I think this is plausible. I think there is a pathway to a few quarters of growth that's more in the, 1-2% range rather than the 4-5% range, and that supply chain stuff can get resolved and the labor market can find a sense of balance without the kind of mass layoffs and things you see in a recession. At the same time, it's such a narrow landing strip. It's, such a delicate task trying to bring this economy in for that very tricky balance of slower growth, less overheating, but not an outright contraction.
Neil Irwin, Chief Economic Correspondent at Axios. Neil, thanks a bunch. Good to have you back on.
Thanks so much, Kai.
Lost amid the news about Taiwan coming out of President Biden's trip to Asia today, and I'm just going to bank on that little tidbit having been covered extensively elsewhere in your news diet today. Lost in all of that, was this. The president says he's going to meet with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen when he gets back to talk tariffs, the Trump-era China tariffs, to be clear. Yellen wants to reduce at least some of them as a way to take some of the edge off inflation. Others in the Biden administration, though, are less enthusiastic. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has that one.
It's not easy being a small business owner in this economy. Michael Bray is president of Hobbyworks Toy Stores in suburban Maryland, and he's wrestling with a monster, inflation. Bray says 80 to 90% of the toys he sells are at least partly from China. So the tariffs former President Trump imposed on some Chinese imports push up his prices.
Tariffs are one element of a three-headed monster that's driving inflation right now.
Along with other big headaches for Bray, like supply chain kinks and soaring shipping costs. He says he would pass the savings along if at least some of the tariffs went away. Gary Huffbauer at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says if the U.S. lifted all of the tariffs on Chinese imports, overall inflation would fall by about a percentage point.
And you take off the tariffs and it immediately goes into lower prices. That's a very quick effect.
But in an interview with Kai, the U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai said Huffbauer is assuming a world with zero tariffs, not realistic. But Huffbauer says the U.S. could use other parts of trade policy to dampen inflation, like lifting quotas on steel from our allies or easing duties on Canadian lumber. Jennifer Hillman is a former U.S. trade negotiator, now at Georgetown Law Center. She says these would all be good options for the Biden administration.
If they could strategically reduce some of these tariffs that are not really serving a different and important strategic purpose for the United States, it would make a small but I think meaningful contribution to reducing inflation.
Hillman says it would probably take months to reduce inflation, though. Back at the toy store, Michael Bray would like the Biden administration to act soon so lower prices could make their way to consumers in time for the all-important holiday shopping season. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.